Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to Friday at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. We are busy today. We'll talk bubble, talk tournament, talk corruption, and get some thoughts on Nebraska as they move forward into postseason after Sunday with Husker standout and Hall of Famer Bo Reed. You want something to shoot for, aim for a three seed. Like Bo's senior year. So we'll get caught up with Bo Reed in about 20 minutes. Next hour, Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey of Hail Varsity, get his take on the world of college basketball and football. In 1 hour, Greg Smith, a recruiting insider, of course, with Hail Varsity. He'll join us in the 5 o'clock hour. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Always welcome to Tap the Line with Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. A lot to discuss, specifically Yahoo's latest story that is out. We'll get into that in a bit. You'll have thoughts from Jay Billis, who gives the, well, with all due respect, before he goes off and annihilates the NCAA, get his thoughts on that. Tim Miles, his press conference earlier, Tim Miles on the senior class, Tim Miles on the bench mob, Tim Miles on what's happening with Nebraska and Penn State. Okay, so we'll get to some football, too. Let's start with the Nebraska basketball program, the NCAA tournament, and this ongoing debate, right? Because you have bracketologists that are walking away from Nebraska like they did something in their pants. You have coaches in support, and I point to Andy Katz's podcast and Bill Self being on there. Bill Self paraphrasing, there's something wrong if you're telling me that Nebraska has work to do. So I put it to you, as you sit here, getting ready to head to the weekend, getting ready to figure out, formulate how you're going to see Nebraska play Penn State on Sunday, and then New York City starts next week. I put it to you, what do you think Nebraska, where do they sit right now? Good, bad, ugly, pretty. And can they help their appearance here? Absolutely, they can help their appearance. But what needs to be done? That was spoken about yesterday. Tom Dienhart touched on it. I talked about it. And I just don't know that there's that much that can change the mind of the selection. I mean, right now, if Nebraska doesn't do things to help themselves, they're out. Right now, they're out. They're looking in. A win Sunday doesn't put them in. Maybe a win, if we get ahead of ourselves on Friday, puts them in. Many of you are hoping that. Many of you are hoping that. But man, would you bet your money that they need just two more? Do they need three? Do they need all four? Kind of search your basketball soul real quick. You can keep the Nebraska name on the front of the jersey, but take a second and take the name off of the jersey. Rod's on hold. Rod, get us kicked off. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, man. Go ahead.
You know, there's no doubt in my mind, and I don't think in any of the players, that they can win that tournament, and I mean the Big Ten champions. They have the talent, but they've got to reach down deep inside, and if they would please, for me, remember two things. to Roby and the rest of the team.
Is that us, Rod, with the feedback, or is your radio up?
Oh, I have my radio on.
Yep, okay. Turn that down for me.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I mean, that's how Nebraska's going to win. They're going to shut you down from three-point land. They're going to rebound and stay close to stalemate in that. Rod, appreciate it. I like your attitude. Appreciate your thoughts, your passion for Nebraska. And he believes they can win the whole thing. It is difficult, but not impossible. What's Tim Miles think? Well, you know, cut 10 here. Sunday's game, that's where you start. It's going to take a lot of elbow grease, but can you put another run together?
We're just playing like it's a must-win. Yeah. We need to win as many games as we can. So regardless of what happens and what seed we are, I prefer to be fourth. But even if you're fifth, you just, fine, let's go see if we can win that game and then see if we can win the other. But I prefer to be the fourth seed. But we just need to win as many games as we can. You know, I don't think there's a death knell game. I don't think there's an all or nothing game. I just think certainly eventually, you know, you either punch your card or dig your hole, right? And I don't know that game's this, especially with the tournament. You know, if we're a top four or five seed, you really have a chance to win that tournament. And we're going to be a four or five seed. So that's a pretty good place to start.
Tim Miles today. And he doesn't believe there's a death nail game. If for some unknown reason you don't make it happen against Penn State on Sunday, you still got the tournament. And you do know what you got to do. How much breathing room, how much oxygen's left in this airtight container that has been the run of Nebraska basketball 2017, 2018, maybe to the dance. Got a little air left. But it still is a lot easier to breathe if you make Sunday happen. Looking ahead to New York City. I'll tell you the Indiana game. I mean, if you would have dropped that, then really Sunday, you don't want to drop another one. You don't want to drop three straight going into the tournament. But really, that's, you can kind of play a little bit loose here with Penn State, because even if you beat Penn State, you're probably still out. And you know you got to do some work. You beat Penn State, it may cut down on your workload. Gasaway has the bubble watch that is out from ESPN.com, came down the pike, and they specifically focus on the Big Ten. So here are your locks. Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, Nebraska have not played their way into the field. So you've got a game of knockout Sunday. With momentum, and from an at-large standpoint, it's doubtful that Nebraska, Penn State are at-larges, but the loser of Sunday would be forced to go win the whole thing in New York City. So can Nebraska go on a bit of a tear and be the first ones up? The first bubble squad up in postseason conference tournament play to put on a show, to dazzle, to impress the selection committee. They'll have that opportunity. Jim Delaney came out to Teddy Greenstein today and said, brutal decision, A, to play the tournament in New York, B, to move the tournament around, move it up, and C, to wear out our frickin' teams during the season with this condensed scheduling. Never again. My bad. It's on me. The coaches were like, hell no, we don't want this. Don't do it, Jim. Don't do it. And they won't again. One benefit, though, committee will be in New York City. So let's talk a little bit here about Nebraska here. There's the opportunity to do it. There's the neutral floor element of it. And there's going to be some quad one chances. And I think Nebraska needs one more of those. And it can be the same team in Michigan. I think if you beat Michigan twice, you're okay. But I think you need to go above and beyond. Here's my damn gut feeling right now. You need to do something to erase that Illinois loss. Beating Michigan a second time doesn't do it. It's nice, but a good showing to win, more so the win, over a quad one, Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State. And here's the other thing you're hearing. We heard it yesterday, too. Nebraska fans are irate at the idea of Michigan getting the nod over Nebraska. Even if Nebraska sweeps Michigan. And again, if. But even if Nebraska beats Michigan, but falls and is left out as number 69, and Michigan gets in, Nebraska fans are furious about it. Well, Michigan has four NCAA tournament wins. Michigan also has a win at Michigan State. I mean, you just have some better wins. And the bottom line, don't lose if you're Nebraska to Michigan. Again, ahead of Penn State. So that's part of this. When you look at the consequences here of what's at stake, the Big Ten hasn't done that since 08. Four teams, that's it. And that's pretty historic. What's your true feeling here on the Big Ten? Are you talking yourself into it? That it's an okay league. I buy it's an injured league. Wisconsin's two stud guards have been out. McIntosh has been out for different spots. Penn State's best rebounder's not coming, or won't play at least Sunday, air quote, allegedly. you've had Carson Edwards get dinged for Purdue. You've had a mess of injuries this year for the Big Ten. So you have four teams here in the Big Ten. You have the ACC and the SEC are kind of loading up. That's something to talk about. If you're the Big Ten and you get four strong dudes into the tournament, you're okay with that. But, man, if you get a fifth team, Nebraska, Penn State left out, instead of SC getting in there, Syracuse, St. Bonaventure, that's rough. That is rough. And Minnesota and Northwestern did not meet expectations this year either. And those are some wins that Nebraska, while having sweeps over both this year, no one's that wowed about. We'll see, though. Sunday's going to be electric. Sunday's going to be on fire. And I like Nebraska being geared up and ready to go. Let's talk bench mob for a minute. Coach Miles asked about that. Coach Miles responded. His take on the bench mob.
Yeah, haven't always been on social media, but I did hear that how many, like, they were over a million hits on the one thing that all these different, you know, celebrities were talking about them. I just, you know, I met with them the other day, yesterday in practice. I'm like, okay, boys, now George Kassian's a rules, all right? You got a good thing going, so slow your roll, right? Just let's just take it easy here, all right? Yeah, you got to keep them wanting more. And so, I don't mind it. As long as it's not disrespectful to your opponent, I don't really. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad to see them having fun.
Okay, there is the Tim Miles ruling. That's good. Let's tell you about texting and driving. Please don't do it as you're out and about this weekend. There are stupider things to do, but that list is very short when talking texting and driving. The behavior is always dangerous for every driver all the time. And no matter how safely you think you can do it, sending or receiving a text takes a driver's eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds, kind of like driving blind at 55 miles per hour for more than the length of the football field. Texting increases your crash risk by 23 times, and texting and driving in Nebraska illegal with fines from $100 to $300. No text message is more important than your life and the lives of your passengers and others on the roadway. A message from your friends here at the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. I can't wait, man. We're going to talk to Bo Reed, Husker Hall of Famer, Husker standout, Husker captain on that 1990-1991 team that was a 3 seed and got to the championship game of the Big 8 Conference. Bo is a standout for the Big Red, so he'll be good stuff to get weighed in on with Nebraska. what he thinks they need win-wise, what he thinks of the bench mob, what he thinks of the NCAA scandal that's going on. And you saw this morning. You saw this on social media. You've read about it. You've kind of processed it. And now what? Now what if you're the FBI? Now what if you're the NCAA? Now what if you're Duke? Now what if you're Michigan State? Now what if you're Clemson? Now what if you're Kansas? Now what if you're Creighton? Now what if you're South Carolina? They were everyone's darling last year. There's two dudes from South Carolina on this list. Frankie. We'll have some thoughts and some commentary on what is next with the NCAA and college basketball, how brutal it's been. We'll talk some Husker football, more from Scott Frost with the Omaha and Lincoln Papers, with just his expectations. A good one today on Friday. Hope you're well. You can find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at Hail Varsity. You can email us, Chris@HailVarsity.com. And phone lines open for you. Can tap the line. Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. As we'll get caught up with Husker standout, Husker Hall of Famer, Bo Reed, up next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago. Casino Danny, I'll have the Friday forecast coming up in about an hour 15. We're going to try and run down Bo Reed again shortly. So let's spend a few minutes here on the latest story from Yahoo. The names were named, teams were implicated, players laid out, and everyone's got a things go wrong if you're doing illegal activities, and someone has a spreadsheet and an expense report. They just do. Think of Casino, the movie. What brought down Vegas and the Mafia? Fat Andy in downtown Kansas City had... He kept an expense report every time he had to go back east and see the bosses. Well, Christian Dawkins and his expense report, he's wishing that thing was on fire. You know who's been identified? If you don't, we'll recap it here. So, potential impermissible benefits and preferential treatment for players and families. Alabama, shocking. Duke, not shocking. Really, it's not shocking. Let's just name them. Alabama, Duke, Kentucky, LSU, Maryland, Michigan State, NC State, North Carolina, Seton Hall, Texas, SC, Washington. That's it. That's who it is. And probably tip of the iceberg, probably more to come. And let me tell you, as big as this thing was supposed to be, as damning as it is, I'm kind of shocked. I'm shocked that there's not more money involved. Not that there's improper benefits. Not that there's swaying and jockeying for favor going on. No, listen, the day and age of AAU, shoe companies, agents, and swaying, it's been going on, okay? You know it, I know it, it's just part of things. But I am shocked as all get out that there's not more zeros attached to these names. I mean, look at the two most expensive guys on the list. Dennis Smith Jr., NC State, went 9th overall, between $43,000 in payment and then another $73,000 with a loan. Went 9th overall. He's with Dallas. NC State was 15-17 with him, okay? Isaiah Whitehead. Seton Hall's kind of back on the radar from back when they used to be awesome, almost 30 years ago. Whitehead wasn't cheap. Kentucky's 14th pick overall, Bam Adebayo. Good player. But he was, what, $25,000, $27,000? I mean, I thought you were going to see a slew of $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 payments to kids or parents. That's what I thought I was going to see. Now, here's what we don't have. And if you understand it like I do, it's not blue chips anymore. It's not friend of the program who's got a bag full of money that hands it off to said recruit, SMU style. It's a business, and this is a businessman that's going to help you and your family out. And once that happens, everyone wins. Your parents get taken care of. Maybe your little sister or brother are helped out. You're able to walk around, have some money to deal with some of the pressure because you got to support the family. And it'll work out. And you're going to go play for this guy at this program. You're going to build your brand. And then you're going to make lots of money in about 6 months. I'm fronting you. All I need from you to do for me is trust me and let me represent you. Let me manage your money. Let me handle X, Y, and Z. That's how it's going on. And you have people who, air quote, have the best interests in the player and his family aligned. And that's starting as freshmen, it's starting as eighth graders, it's starting as 10th graders, and it's something you got to sift through. Now, what I don't have or see is any corroboration right now. That needs to come out. You can have player at university, and there's payment by this group, but I don't have any names other than the four assistants with the four programs, but I don't have any more names. I have names for Auburn. I have names for USC from an assistant coaching standpoint. Okay. I don't have names of coaches from Duke. I don't have names of coaches from Michigan State. I don't have names of coaches from Kentucky. But I have Oklahoma State. I have Auburn. I have Arizona. So that's the next bomb that needs to drop. Okay. And if you're the NCAA, and you give me that crap statement about how you're shocked and appalled and outraged, you're a nonprofit organization that's been making a crap load of money for a long time. You want to stay nonprofit so you're not taxed. And you want to go from there, and you're wanting to keep the profits high. And you want to keep your foot on top of ruling the roost the way things used to be. Let's get to Lance. He's on hold. He might weigh in on this. Lance, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Shannon. You know, I understand what you're saying about collaboration with other schools.
I want corroboration. I think it exists, but I want to know more. I want more than four schools out of here.
Well, I mean, so the snippets that we saw are alleged to just the parcel of what that full documentation is. Now, does firing an assistant mean that there's collaboration between those people? Or, you know, if you know a guy's going to cost money to get, like a guy like Miles Bridges, he got paid, mm-hmm. Or is getting paid per the documents that have been released. If he is, yeah, technically he can't really play for the school, right? Even if the coach allegedly doesn't know, under the table,
well,
doesn't know.
That's kind of the next wave of questions here. And you have some coaches making statements. You have Duke already notifying on one of their players, right? Today they came out and said, listen, we're aware of it, and there's no extra benefit infraction. That was Duke's statement today, okay? So that's where they're going about it. Either they know something, or they're just going to kind of roll the dice because this thing's so deep and so wide. And I was talking to Junior, right, before I went on. Junior got his picture taken last year with Miles Bridges. It's his favorite player. It's why he wears all that green Michigan State junk. He loves watching Miles Bridges. And I jokingly just gave my 11-year-old some crap here, Lance, said, you didn't slip Miles of 50, did you? When, you know? And he's like, no, I should have, though. But listen, $400 to his mom, I'm kind of shocked that it's not more. Maybe there is more out there, but $400 doesn't seem like anything to scream and freak out about. Josh Jackson of Kansas, $2,700 to his mother. Now, is that the total true amount, or is there another ledger somewhere out there that has more money given to more players? How's a guy who goes ninth overall end up with over $100,000 in investments from NC State people or agents, but yet Duke's guys or Kentucky's guys are half of that price, or it's just a meal, or it's X, Y, and Z? I mean, it's so specific case by case with this thing.
I mean, what are we going to do, though, if, you know, Duke comes out and says this? I mean, obviously there's going to be infractions like that. I mean, if they come out today, there's no extra benefit that we didn't know, but continue to play a guy that's been reported. I think there's just a really slippery slope with playing guys that, you know, I mean, the proof is going to be in the pudding, but you look at a guy like Diamond Stone, who mm-hmm. allegedly
14 grand.
Yeah, left Wisconsin for Maryland, and Maryland was sponsored by Under Armour, who also sponsored Diamond Stone's AAU team. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that the depth that this will get to, you would hope that the schools would just let the truth come out and play their hand that way instead of playing like, well, we didn't know, and then we come to find out that maybe they did know, because I think once these infractions come down with as far ranging as they are, you would think the NCAA is going to have to say, we're going to rein this back in because it's going for far too long.
See, but the problem is the NCAA can't hack off CBS, ESPN, TNT. They've already invested billions of dollars to show their product. So they better have a product worth showing. That's the rub. And the NCAA is in a spot here because, I mean, they're ineffective, they're incompetent, and they're acting surprised when they've been making money hand over fist forever off of this. There's a black market created because, okay, you can't go straight to the NBA anymore, and you're going to have to go to school for a year, but you need to get in touch with these kids or the kid's family by the time he's a 10th grader. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you need to sponsor his uncle's AAU team if you want him lined up to go play at Maryland, or you want him to play at an Adidas school. So what I need to see more of here, not just amounts and not just who the players were and what colleges they went to, but I want to see more to the story here about, all right, how do these kids get steered to these universities, what coaches were involved, or what shoe companies in corroboration with said school's assistants or head coaches were involved. I want to see more of this story, but the total amount doesn't hurt me that much. I've got three guys that have gotten over $25,000. Okay? Three. That's high, but they were pretty good. Not down with my school doing it per se, but it's been happening. We'll spend some more time on this. Jay Billis will have a thought on it. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hey, I'm excited to get caught up with Husker Hall of Famer Bo Reed. He joins us. We've been talking FBI and NCAA scandal and Huskers and the number they need to be feeling okay, March 11th. Bo, great to be with you, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. Okay, let's start with Nebraska. I just got an email, and I've been called a lot of things because I think Nebraska needs to get to the Big Ten championship game to to feel about as safe as they can short of winning the whole thing? What's a number you have in mind that they need to do?
Well, to feel comfortable about being in, I don't disagree with you. I think they have to make the championship game, and they have to be competitive in that game. They can't get run out. I think we're possibly going to make the tournament if we win against Penn State tomorrow and then win one game.
Okay.
Because if we win against Penn State tomorrow, we still have to double bye, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, you beat Penn State, you're assured to be that four seed, and you're waiting on Michigan for a rematch.
Yeah, Michigan's going to get beat by Michigan. Don't they play Michigan State next week?
Michigan, I think, would end up getting either Northwestern or Penn State in their opening game of the Big Ten tournament.
But I think they have one more game that's not a gimme.
You're right. I got to look where that's at. You're right. It isn't. Yeah. It's not a gimme. You're right. They could fall. You're right.
Yeah. So, we win. We're in the fourth seed slot. And then if we beat Michigan, who's ranked in the top 20, currently at least, I think we're going to make it. I have a hard time believing they're not going to take five teams from the Big Ten, especially when we have 13 or 14 conference victories at that point. So,
okay. What do you think this team's going to do moving forward here? They had the slip up. They've been playing with a lot of pressure on their shoulders. How do you think they handle Sunday and beyond?
It helped we come out and just turn loose and play. We don't play tight like we did against Illinois. I hope that they stick to attacking the basket and shooting jump shots only after the ball has gone into the lane before it comes back out. That's when we seem to shoot in rhythm and we make a lot of shots. So, Illinois did a good job of pretty much keeping Palmer from the rim, and that seemed to slow down our ability to get those threes. And we tended to shoot threes late in the clock up there, which, I'd like to see us have that attack mentality with Copeland, Palmer, and even Glenn.
Are you going Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
You're like...
not missing that. That's going to be pandemonium in there. It's going to be great.
I know. Bo Reed, Hall of Famer and standout Nebraska player with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Bo, before we talk about the bigger picture and topic of college basketball and the FBI and the NCAA, was there a moment that kind of hits you with your tournament run? I mean, you guys are the standard, that three seed team that went to the championship of the Big Eight tournament, and man, just a phenomenal year. And I remember it going every game with my folks. And was there a moment that you guys said, man, we're pretty damn good?
I think.
Was it in season? Was it before season? I mean, you got Farmer, yourself, Scales. I mean, you were loaded. You guys were loaded with talent.
Yeah, I think for me, when we were when we went to Oklahoma and blew them out on their court, that's during the season. It might have been our third Big Eight game that year, and we had already beaten Kansas State on the road and won a game at home, I think, and then we went on the road and we absolutely just pounded Oklahoma on their home floor. And I remember thinking, we may just actually be pretty damn good. And then when we made that run in the tournament after, beating Oklahoma in the opening round, and then we soundly beat Kansas after starting off slow and falling behind, we lost to Missouri in the championship game, but it was really fun to be relevant on the national level, and I'm happy for these kids and this team that they have people talking about Nebraska basketball in a positive way, and they have people fired up, and they have people proud of the way that they play basketball, and for them to be part of that and riding that momentum and walking through campus with their head high, I couldn't be happier for that group of young men.
That's awesome. Bo Reed's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Bo, what do you think happens with college basketball moving forward? Teams and players, current and former, were named. And what do you think happens here? Do you think if you're some of these schools that have players, current players implicated, Do they get suspended this year? Do you wait and let it play out? How do you see this thing shaking out? What's your reaction to the news?
Yeah, I don't know what the right answer is in terms of people to get named this year. If they should be, I mean, you basically throw away the entire college season if yeah. you do that. You'd have to be blind to not know that something like this was coming. I mean, right. everybody knew the way the game was getting played on the recruiting trail with the AAU stuff and the way coaches were basically selling players. It just has become a dirty business. And what's unfortunate is the kids who are being exploited. And so it's going to go through some bumps here in college basketball to get to where it needs to be and return the focus to the kids and doing things the right way. And, you know, it's a world that I don't really understand. You know, I think there's kids now that make money being a brand ambassador and a social network brand influencer. And I mean, there's all these weird things out there where these companies are paying big money to market things differently. And they're trying to get their hooks in these kids so that they have a brand loyalty when these kids make the NBA or get national exposure. And I don't know how you fix that, because we live in a democracy and it's going to be a challenge to rein that back in. I just really wish they'd figure out a way to eliminate it from the recruiting process.
Bo, I got about 90 seconds. Should kids be able to have financial capabilities to make money off themselves even while they're a college student? If they've got to be if you can't go to the NBA, you can't go to the G League if you're playing college basketball, the extra benefits side of things, I guess, is what I'm asking. Should there be more leniency with that?
I believe college athletes should be paid a monthly stipend, and I think it should be a function of the TV revenue and all the other revenues that run through the college system.
Okay.
I believe that. Should they be able to market themselves in college? No, I don't believe that. I think that they're being provided an education, and people like to say, oh, these kids aren't there to go to school. Such a small percentage of these kids actually make the NBA, no matter if all of them that play Division I basketball think they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is we have to get the focus back on the education,
mm-hmm.
and these kids have to come out of college prepared for life and not just prepared for the NBA. And if you start letting kids market themselves and make it all about them, I think you lose a lot of what makes college athletics so endearing to the public. And so, tough question, but
sure.
Yeah, I don't believe that they should go to market themselves.
Well, we'll get caught up again soon and see you down there Sunday. Thanks for the time, bud.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. Thank you.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Bo Reed, man. Guy that got things kicked off with knee in that first of many tournament teams. We're kind of in agreement. You can email us, chris@halevarsity.com. What's the number? Two more, three more, four more for Nebraska basketball. And I think you've got some warming up that has happened by some of the eyeballs that see Nebraska basketball. Spent a lot of time on college basketball, their situation. And what you've had happen a lot is assistants or air quote friends of the program align with the shoe companies, and the shoe companies have found the AAU teams, and that's where the process has started. That's where the pipeline has begun. And here's what you need to do. Here's what could solve some problems with this. And it comes down to, and we'll get Jay Billis's comments here in just a second. I think cut 16 there, Danny. I think the truth of this thing is you're asking kids that are in a select percent to wait. and they waited their whole life, and they need to provide for their family in some instances. But give them the opportunity, if they don't want to jack with college, or if it's going to take paying some scumbag money to get them to college, let them have a chance to go play and do it, dare I say it, the Ball family's done. Or go to the G League and dial back your one and done, because that's what's caused this. Is the NBA isn't taking dudes out of high school. So don't take dudes out of high school, but do what Major League Baseball and the NHL's done. Have a minor league system. That's why you got the G League now. It used to be the D League. Now Gatorade's throwing money at it. Go that route. And if you do that, those kids will either opt to go, either get drafted right out of high school, but more likely get placed, get paid, but also earn some money against some high skill level dudes in the G League for a couple of years, and then you're ready at age 22, 23. That's what you do. You do that. There's payment. There's professionalism. And there's no bidding war for a guy that had over $100,000 invested in him to go 15 and 17. And then there's no more funneling of money to AAU. You want to go to the NBA? Here are your options. Be good enough in AAU and in high school to get drafted by the NBA, or go to the G League. And if you're college basketball, you're still going to have issues, but it isn't going to be this FBI report with impropriety, wiretap, racketeering, interstate commerce violations. I mean, it's a list of charges in Goodfellas, for God's sake. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, going to be with us. Greg Smith on the way. Danny's forecast. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour two, great to be with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. Good stuff from Bo Reed last hour on this Nebraska team. The number of wins needed for dancing. You know, it's a topic that comes and goes and hanging around with Penn State looming on Sunday. And then Nebraska takes New York City. Coming up, Greg Smith will chat recruiting with us in about 20 minutes or so. We'll have the Friday forecast, some thoughts, weekend edition tomorrow as well with Mark Kranek. So we are loaded up. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Love reading Derek Peterson's work with HailVarsity.com and magazine, and hearing him and the gang with the newly titled Varsity Club podcast. It's a good listen, and we welcome in Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, with us at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter. Derek, what's good, man? It's Friday. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. It's the weekend, so I'm good.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to Sunday. I'm excited.
Sunday's going to be nuts. Can't wait. I can't wait for the atmosphere, everyone getting all cranked up, getting done with church, and then you head down to the rail yard, and then it's beat Penn State, right? 4:15 tip off.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to get your thoughts here on your chat with Stuart Mandel on the Varsity Club podcast. Stuart's guy we've talked to in the past, and he's with The Athletic, and he's just, you know, very talented. And where's he at? Because Stuart, you know, long time with SI, and then Fox, so he's no stranger to college basketball and the bubble and all of that. Just kind of a quick Cliff Notes version of why. Has he shifted his opinion on Nebraska? Has he kind of stayed with, well, I need to see some more work? What was his thoughts on Nebraska?
Yeah, he doesn't have them in right now, but and that goes to, you know, their pretty poor non-conference strength of schedule and the fact that they just don't have a ton of wins. I mean, Jacob Padilla and I were talking about this earlier on the podcast. It's just their best win is Michigan, and after that, I mean, who's number two? So, you know, he wants, when we talked, he wants to see them beat Penn State on Sunday, and then he's, in his eyes, they need to get at least one or two more in the tournament. They need to beat Michigan. Should they match up with Ohio State, then in that second game of the tournament, they would need to win that game, either win two or win the tournament and get the auto bid. It's he's not high on the chances, and I thought that they had a good shot up until that Illinois loss. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked about was one of the things that they had going in their favor was that they just didn't have a bad loss, and now they do with Illinois. Illinois is, last I looked, in like 170s in RPI.
Yeah.
And that was just a bad loss. So
capital, capital B on that one, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Not high, but they still have the good thing of the Big Ten tournament is they still got a shot. One or two more wins. I saw Tim Miles said at his press conference today that he'd prefer to be the 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament and get an extra game in there. I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily want an extra game, but they might end up needing one for the resume.
Well, and this is kind of dicey with if you're Nebraska, you've kind of your schedule's been just a cluster all year. Let's just be flat out. And Coach Commissioner Delaney came out and admitted as much today to the Trib. And the Big Ten's been through the ringer severely. I mean, we're talking 5 games, 12 days, 4 games, 8 days, 3 games, 5 days. Everyone's taken a beating. And then you're down to 4 kind of heavyweights or 3 to 4 heavyweights for the tournament with very little love to get 5 or 6 traditionally in for the Big Ten. So if you're Nebraska, yeah, all you can do is go beat Penn State. And if Penn State would have came in beating Ohio State, getting a win at Purdue, and they were right there to do so but didn't, you still need Michigan to be a Q1 win, so you needed Penn State to lose to Michigan. That happened. If you could have got a 2-1 Penn State coming in Sunday, you would have got some more credit for it. Instead, now, as good as Penn State is, and they can beat a lot of teams, they're a lot like Nebraska, Penn State's just going to be another, well, it's an underappreciated win. And to folks who know basketball, and I'm talking coaches out there, they'll be like, that was a hell of a good win. But on the periphery and with the selection committee, it may not wow as much. Do you have a number in mind?
Right.
Does Dr. Petey have, they need 3 down? So it is going to be Ohio State if Nebraska wins on Sunday. If Nebraska gets Michigan, beats Michigan, do they get Ohio State? Is that it? I was hoping they were going to get Michigan State.
I think it would be Ohio State or Maryland. That was the last bracket that
That's
I looked at.
That's the matchup. Okay.
Things are changing all the time, yeah. Are you asking if I?
I'm asking you.
You're really confident.
You're on the committee. You're on the committee. What do they need?
Oh, geez.
I think they need 3 wins.
They have to beat Michigan for sure. You think they need 3?
I think they got to get to the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. When you look at the numbers and you look at their resume compared to everyone else, and you look at the fact that the bubble teams that they're up against right now are still winning, and you look at Penn State, who looked like it was going to be a really good matchup. Like, and you already said this too, it looked like it was going to be a good matchup when they had swept Ohio State. After losing to Michigan, they're back into the 80s in RPI. That's just going to be another win. I think they got to at least get to the title game.
That's a hell of an ask.
It's hard.
You're a good team. You're fun to watch. We love you, but.
Yeah. And but. I've seen a ton of, and people are going to be upset. People are going to be upset if they get left out.
Yep.
People are going to be upset, and they're going to point to the conference wins, the 13. If they beat Penn State, they're going to point to that. They're going to point to the 20-win team. And I've seen a bunch of comparisons to other teams that have hit 20 wins in a major conference. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there's a comparison for this Nebraska team. I don't know that there's a really good
There's
one
not
out
another
there
team out there that is like this team. You're right. Because, and think about this too. The Big Ten, and who knows, maybe the committee is, I think Bruce Rasmussen's on top of things, but the other nine, Wisconsin, you sweep Wisconsin. Wisconsin's been without their two really good three-point shooting guards, so Wisconsin's under 500. Indiana's a really good team, and they're coming on strong. They could make some noise in New York City, I think. So I think they're impressive, but they've been pretty bad for a while. Maryland is 0-9. You know, you talk about Nebraska being 0-6 against Q1 opportunities. Maryland's like 0-9, Q1, Q2. And Maryland's no pushover. I mean, they've been within an eyelash of wins at Michigan, over Purdue, against Nebraska. And then McIntosh has been out a ton for Northwestern. They were a preseason top 25, and they are not good, and they're not getting, you don't get credit to beat them. And then Minnesota. Minnesota's 12th in the country. They were going to be a 3 seed this year. We know what happened with them. So if you're Nebraska and you get some semblance of a bubble Northwestern or Minnesota this year, or Wisconsin, that's usually a 4 seed, right? You're gold this year, but it's not the case.
And that right there, that's why the 13 conference wins don't mean much.
They don't weigh much,
in the grand scheme of things.
They don't weigh much to me.
That's why there's just not – there's not a good comparison team that you can point to in years past and say, well, I mean, they had X number of wins and got in. Like, I don't know. It's a tough situation, but they just don't have the quality wins that you want to see, that other bubble teams are going to have.
Well, and they've been right there for a lot of quality wins, but they just and that was all December too. That's what also sucks about this schedule is, you didn't get a chance to. You've gotten a ton better, but you didn't get a chance to show you've gotten a ton better against some money teams late in the year. Let's talk a little bit here about the Yahoo story with Pete Thamel and Pat Forty. And you've got impermissible benefits to parents, players, family. You got AMA sports employee Kristen Dawkins. You've got the NBA agent who's now no longer an NBA agent, Andy Miller. Derek, what do you think happens here with guys that have been named or are currently named, and do we see bigger fallout? Is this tip of the iceberg? Are there going to be assistant coaches named eventually, more so than the four that are out there? Because you don't have placement like this without the corroboration between coach and street agent or coach, typically, and shoe company person.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in that report that tips off that this is the start of it. This is, like you said, the tip of the iceberg. I don't think that this is the last. I think this is the very beginning of a very long list of names and schools that are going to be caught up in this thing. There was a line in that report that when you looked at Dawkins' expense reports, he had dinners with Tom Izzo. He had dinners with Villanova coaches. I think you're going to get coaches that are going to get caught up. And the other thing that you got to remember, too, is this is one sports agency. One agency.
It's one guy.
One agency. We haven't even gotten to the other ones yet. We haven't even gotten to the boosters yet. This is just one sports agency. And I went through just the teams for the players that I recognized in that report and on the pictures of the documents that they had. 28 teams. And we were talking about this on the pod. There's a very realistic possibility that the team that wins the national championship this season, everyone in the country is going to know. Well, there's a strong likelihood that is getting vacated. It's
But I mean, if you're the NCAA,
it's not surprising.
If you're the NCAA, do you take a vote and say, look, let's allow more benefits for the kids just so you can kind of keep your hold on this nonprofit money printing operation you have? And if you're the NBA, do you just say, dude, we're done messing with you. We're going to open it up. No more one and done. You want to come to the league and we think you're good enough, go for it. If you're not, go to the G League. Get rid of this black market some way.
I think you're going to be – I think we're getting closer to a getting rid of the one and done rule. But I think just opening it up altogether might not happen. I think you'd probably see a deal where – you can come to the NBA if you want to out of high school, but if you choose to go to college, you've got to be there for 2 or 3 years. I think that's a little bit closer than just
like college baseball.
The rule altogether. Yeah, exactly. You know, but you got to pay players. This is not going to change until you pay the players. The players are it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and the only people that aren't getting any kind of money from it are the ones that are generating the money.
Well, they're getting such a small percentage. You're either taking a kickback from an agent, or mom or dad's getting taken care of, but it's minuscule. Like Josh Jackson being named and his mother. I mean, when I hear him, I was expecting, 27,000, not 2,700.
Right. And there was Carlos Delfino was on that report, an old Argentinian player, for $71. A lunch or a dinner or whatever.
That's a good steak, though, bro.
Yeah, that's a good steak.
It's just one.
Side note, they spent like $160 at P.F. Chang's.
No, I saw
How
that.
You spend $160 at P.F. Chang's?
I've got a bad confession for you. I've never been to P.F. Chang's.
I think I've been there once.
Is it impossible to spend $160? I mean, did you have to buy like the room,
it would be
a shot?
I feel like it'd be impossible to spend $160 on a lunch at a lot of places if there's like three of you.
Well, I'd try.
I don't imagine these lunches were 15 people long. Like I feel like it was one guy and then a
coach?
Player and a parent. Yeah.
Coach got his own. Let's not lie. No, I'm good. I'll take the club sandwich for $12. Diet Coke, please. Need a little extra mayo. That is Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey at Dr. Petey 15. Follow him on Twitter. Read him on HailVarsity.com. And check out the podcast on Hail Varsity, the Varsity Club podcast. Derek and Jacob speak with Stuart Mandel. Derek, we'll get caught up with you soon, bud. We'll catch up with you Sunday. Thanks for the time today, man.
Sounds good. Love the show, buddy.
Hey, bud, take care. There he is, Derek Peterson with us, Dr. Petey. And listen to that podcast. They've been doing it. I'm glad the Varsity Club is also an ode to the forum name at HailVarsity.com. You can subscribe, real easy to do, to Hail Varsity. All you got to do, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Premium content online, great recruiting info, great insight, tremendous stories. And, of course, the magazine can hook you up. 855-3-HUSKER is one way to subscribe to the magazine. Derek Peterson, good from him. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, is plotting his Friday forecast. We will get rolling with that here in about 15 minutes. Recruiting with Greg Smith. Can't wait to talk to Greg and get you a recruiting hit before the weekend. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We love catching up and talking recruiting with Greg Smith at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Analyst with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, you're going home improvement right now, it sounds like.
Yeah, I had a battle on my hands at home. It was either I wanted to get a new bar in the basement, or and the wife wanted to do new flooring. One of those, by the way, is significantly cheaper than the other, and I lost out on my battle, so we're looking at new flooring here. So I'm elbow deep in new flooring options.
Mm. Well, as I say, one tastes better, too.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Wow. Well, keeping with the Friday home improvement theme, let's talk construction, okay? And hopefully no more construction than just some new flooring and new carpet for you. But Coach Frost, a couple of interviews he did this week with Omaha and Lincoln Papers. What's your reaction and take with how he plans to build, and it's more development versus the five-star chase?
You know, I think it's really smart for him to say that and do that on a number of levels. One, the low-hanging fruit here to me is that it plays very well with the fan base to say, basically, we're going to build this thing brick by brick. We're going to do it the hard way. It might be a little bit longer, but the results will be more long-lasting, and we know how to build this thing kind of like we used to. Like, that will always play well with this fan base, right? But on the other hand, I think it is a smart approach because I don't think it's sustainable to expect Nebraska to be able to consistently bring in, say, the same level of talent that a USC or a Georgia or an Alabama or a Florida State bring in and then kind of build your program that way. You have to be a little bit closer to the Wisconsin or Iowa or Oregon under Chip Kelly model and do things that way. And that's fine. You can do it that way. Now, none of those programs did win championships, but Oregon was went right there knocking on the door. They're a miracle Cam Newton kind of a game away from winning that championship. So you can do it. It's just the way I think that you can build your team for long-term success at Nebraska. I think they're on the right track with that.
Greg Smith is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. And old Jimmy Walden used to say five-year, five-star, right? Those are your two options. And, you know, when you look at Nebraska, they would develop guys, and by their redshirt sophomore junior year, they'd have thousands of reps under their belt because of the practice style in blueprint. And then when it was their turn, they were all good, and the train kept on a rolling. And then you look at Oregon. They had their blueprint, their setup, but their development produced, you know, five-star talent, five-star seasons. And then towards the end, they get a guy like Mariota, who wasn't a five-star, but, you know, he was three-star, and the projections had him, man, this kid can be awesome. That's kind of what I'm excited about, not only the evaluation going on, but the development that'll be put into this roster and future rosters, but then the end result, that maximization of talent.
Yeah, and there's a track record here, right? Like, you just ran through some of the stuff that they did at Oregon or Frost was part of, and if they carried over to UCF, like, they know what this is supposed to look like. They know what they want their quarterbacks to look like, and they can clearly define that, and they can identify that and develop to that. Greg Austin can do the same thing with his offensive line. Barrett Rood with his linebackers. Like, having that idea clearly of what this is supposed to be versus a little bit of guesswork, which is what I think the previous regime was kind of undergoing, I think really goes a long way to help it.
What's your take on morning practices?
Actually, the way that it, to me, when it first kind of came up and that had been talked about when Frost first got hired, I was like, oh, I don't get the deal. Like, I don't understand why he's even kind of talking about this. And after seeing some of his further explanation, I think it makes all the sense in the world. I particularly like the line that he had to the papers about maybe a guy is more likely to sleep in and miss a class versus he's never going to sleep in and miss a practice. So I like that. I do know that, you know, you get going early in the morning, it does make you a little bit more alert for the rest of the day. So in turn, they could be, you know, a little bit more attentive in their classes. And then as you get into game week, that helps you with that, you know, recovery throughout the week and then getting ready for a game. So I think that right now, you know, he's not going to get questioned on doing this at all by the fan base or by Bill Moose. But I think it sounds like a great idea.
Greg, let's talk a little recon, Big Red Recon. Every Friday you put out on HailVarsity.com. when it comes to spring visits, in-season visits, and some new offers out for Nebraska. Give us a look-see into some of the targets. Also, give us some thoughts on JUCO 2019.
Yes, our start with JUCO 2019 is it looks like if you're a fan of going out and getting a JUCO offensive tackle, this is the year for you. Nebraska, I believe, has offered four or five different JUCO offensive linemen, all big guys. The one thing that they have in common through watching film and something that it seems like Greg Austin is really looking for, and stop me if you heard this before, is athleticism. Mm. These guys are big, but they can get out and move. You see in their film guys pulling. They got a couple of guys from Texas, one from Kansas, one from California. So they're spreading things out. But Ryan Held, Greg Austin, really attacking that JUCO offensive tackle market. And I think for good reason. This team needs, and we've talked about this now for it feels like forever, they need true tackles on this roster. And then I think there's some other intriguing guys out there as well that got offers here recently. As you had a group of guys come in from Martin Luther King Jr. High School in Detroit, came out for unofficial visits on Tuesday. I've got some comments from some of those guys in Big Red Recon as well. Then you've got, pass rusher from Georgia, Justin, as his last name is very difficult to say. I'm going to call him Justin E. For the purposes of this discussion.
Ebogbe, sound right?
Yeah, we're going to go with that. That's a really tough one. I got to ask him because I talked to him via text. I didn't get a chance to speak to him and get the pronunciation down.
Hey, last thought, Justin. Give me phonetic pronunciation. Thanks.
Right. I need to do that so I'm not butchering this thing all over the place. But he's a defensive end pass rusher from Georgia. Nebraska will continue to try to get into Georgia. That's Eric Chenander's territory. So he's kind of got his eye on him, and he's possibly looking at a spring visit, along with a big-time four-star quarterback, Jaden Daniels, out of California. He's out of a really good Cajun high school program out there in California, San Bernardino. He's a really good player. One of the best, if not the best, quarterback on the West Coast is talking to me about coming out for a spring visit, potentially the spring game, maybe even a spring practice.
Greg Smith, few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. Read Greg, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. A recruiting hit as we head into the weekend with Greg Smith. And Greg, let's spend a minute on the state of Georgia. You mentioned Coach Chenander likes it. Nebraska and Frost's reach isn't just Orlando or Florida, but it's also states like Georgia and surrounding areas in SEC country. Can Nebraska continue to do work in Georgia? Sure, they want to, but do you think they can keep mining the state of Georgia? So much talent. You know how good the Atlanta area is and surrounding communities.
Yes, I do. I do think that absolutely they want to continue doing it. There's no doubt about that. But I do think that they can continue mining that area for talent. And it sounds bad when you say it this way, but let's be frank: Georgia can't take everybody, right?
Like, sure. No, you're right.
It can't happen. Like, as great as that class was last season, and I do think that maybe the recruiting class that Georgia had last year was maybe the best one I've ever seen. Like, up there with those Pete Carroll USC classes. But as good as it was, they can't have everyone. So they had close to 40 five- and four-star prospects in just last year alone in the state. So when you have that level of talent, before you even get to those kind of sleeper kids like a Cam Taylor that Nebraska stole out of Georgia this last cycle, I think that there's enough talent to go around and that Nebraska can definitely continue to make some hay down there. And the more they do that here in the next couple of years, it'll pay off dividends as they really get the program off the ground.
Now, you mentioned Pete Carroll in his classes, and we know what happened with Reggie Bush, so let's transition to college basketball, the FBI, and what's going on. And you've got a number of prospects that are now in the NBA with some blue blood programs, the Yahoo story. Greg, I guess I'm not in shock or in awe or even offended, really, that things have been going on like this. I think the build up with this story, I was expecting more names with more zeros behind their names when it comes to payment. Not that $400 or $2,700 or even $43,000 is anything to sneeze at when you look at what the rules say. It's a different landscape, different world in college basketball now compared to the rules. The rules are archaic. All that being said, what do you think happens now? Do you think the NCAA goes, okay, we're going to punish everybody, or we're going to rewrite some rules here to allow agent representation?
I don't think that they can punish everyone. Like, and there's a couple of reasons for this. One, according to that Yahoo report, the NCAA won't be able to actually fully investigate this at the earliest until the FBI is done doing their work. Right. Who knows how long that's going to take. You're talking about two bodies that don't exactly aren't exactly known for their speed, right? Mm-hmm. The FBI and the NCAA, or the government and the NCAA. So I don't know how they're going to investigate this without being able to interview everyone, without being able to actually look at all of the surrounding documents, right? And to your point about, you know, being a little underwhelmed at the amount of information, I felt the exact same way, but I also, in a weird way, think that that is worse for the NCAA, right? So think about it this way. So if you've got all these guys that aren't just taking, say, $100,000 to go to a school, but they're taking, you know, $1,200 or they're taking $7,000 or $8,000, mm-hmm. that means that there's a real big problem out there with guys just needing something. So if guys need something, then they're willing to take anything. So now you've got a real issue on your hands where basically everybody's, you know, kind of pay for play, and it's just a really bad situation. So there's no real great way for the NCAA to spin this. They can't say, oh, it was just a couple of rogue guys that took huge lump sum payments to be able to do this. It's a real bad mess for the NCAA, and no one's going to shed any tears for them, but I don't know how they're going to handle this mess.
No, and listen, what you haven't had as we speak tonight, it's change. It's not the assistant coach funneling money anymore. It's
right.
It's the agent or the
shoe company.
Right, or the shoe company. Yeah, I mean, it's a different actor here involved with the kid and families. It's not the assistant coach. It just depends on how tight the relationship between coaches and agents are. That's also what's been circled. Who's had dinner with who? We'll learn more as more comes out. Greg, have yourself a great weekend, and pick out some pretty awesome flooring, okay?
Thank you. Wish me luck.
You know, poor Gregers. At least he wasn't at Bed Bath & Beyond. Not that that store's bad. I love it, but, you know, think of Frank the Tank. That's the big Saturday. You don't want to go there. Danny Burke, Friday Forecast on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, it's about that time to get the Friday Forecast locked and loaded. Friday Forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love, Danny, has a gambling problem, please call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. Danny, this is your world, brother. What games are we picking?
All righty. Well, we're starting off tonight, Ohio State at Indiana. And before we get started, Schmitty, let me just tell you, I think it's free money this week, and I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Well, you on social media, I mean, you've done everything but except put the Rockets jersey on here the last 10 minutes with CP3 rolling in with a cowboy hat on.
That's right. I told my buddy who's a big Houston fan, I said, I'm betting the house on the Rockets. How could you bet against that? I love it.
I still like the story earlier in the week how Danny got back from the bar / the rail. Said, let's put the whole thing on Nebraska over Illinois.
We're going to avoid that mistake this week, and I'm going to make sure I have a clear mind this time.
Okay, so I got to say what I like, Ohio State minus 2.5.
Yep.
On the road. You know what? I think Indiana's playing well. I think Indiana's pretty physical. Give me the upset. Give me Indiana. Give me Indiana not only the points but the outright win. And I don't like Ohio State offensively. It seems like they never break 60. They're just not very they're very stagnant offensively. A lot of shots don't go in. They're physical. But I like Indiana at home. Give me the Hoosiers. Give me the Hoosiers 74-69.
Okay, so the last time they played, Ohio State won 71-56. Just putting that out there. I don't hate your pick. I really was contemplating this one. I was thinking, you know, Indiana coming off in that Nebraska game, you know, playing a little bit better. I think they got something to prove at home. They don't want to lose. I think it's senior night, too, for them. but I'm going to have to go with Ohio State minus 2.5. Going to go against you on that one and take the Buckeyes.
All right. All right, fine.
Okay, and then next, then starting Saturday, 11 a.m., Michigan, number 17, Michigan at Maryland. We have them even right now, so pick your poison.
You know, I'm going to go with the home squad. I think Maryland finally gets it done. They're at home, right? I mean, I think Michigan's a really good basketball team. I think Michigan's dynamite. Maryland's got to win one of these. They're right there with Purdue. They're right there with Michigan. They're right there with Nebraska. I think Sparty destroyed them, but they were right there with Purdue. They finally get a win at home. And 71-70, that's okay. What I'm going to throw out there.
Yeah, Michigan beat them 68-67 at home the last time. I agree with you. I'm taking Maryland in this one. I'm going to go with Maryland 68, Michigan 64, though.
All right. What's up next?
And then we got Villanova at Creighton at 1:30 p.m. Villanova opens up as a 7-point favorite, the number 3 team, 7-point favorite, coming in at 19-9 against the spread. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Real good. Creighton's been just absolutely reeling. And I know I'm not supposed to say, hey, Creighton, your money, but they're better than what they've shown. That said, the matchup predictor says 74.3% Nova. Creighton, didn't they get just destroyed by Nova earlier?
Yeah, Villanova beat them by 20, 98-78.
Okay. Creighton's a better team, different team at home.
Didn't they just barely beat DePaul at home, though, the other week? They beat them by, like, one?
Yeah. They've lost at home to Marquette. That was a week ago.
Yeah.
They got rocked by Butler at Butler. Bemidji State almost scored 50 on them. They've lost at home to Xavier, last second shot.
Yeah.
Things really went south since that no call where there was a, or the bad call, I should say. It wasn't a no call, should have been a no call.
Uh-huh.
But the foul on the elbow, they gave two free throws to Xavier. I'm going to give Nova my blessing here. It's going to be a little bit tighter, but Nova wins. If that seven stays, I'm going to say Creighton covers, but give me Nova 85-80 over Creighton.
Okay. I like the fact that Villanova is just so good against the spread, and how we mentioned Creighton's just so sketchy at home, and honestly just the whole season. I do believe they are better than what they're looking like you said, but I'm going to have to take Nova on this one covering. I'm not a fan of the bigger spreads, but I'm going to go with Nova on this one. And I'm going to take Villanova 88-79 over Creighton.
So just you're going to be sweating a bit,
yeah,
with that number.
It's going to be like the last second free throws. Like, I'm sweating on those.
Yeah, under a minute to go.
Yep.
Hit some free throws and make daddy some money.
Yeah, screaming at the TV. Yeah.
Friday forecast, that's Danny Burke, or we'll call him Danny Casino. Chris Schmidt. Up next, is it Tech in Kansas?
Yep, we got number 8 Kansas at number 6 Texas Tech. Texas Tech won the previous game in January 85-73. They open up as a 2-point favorite for this game.
You know, Kansas has lost to about everybody at home. This was really Tech's coming out party. You won, you saw it happen, you say in January, and then you're like, okay. But then Tech followed it up as they're the favorite. If Kansas wants to extend their winning ways and winning the Big 12, they got to win this. I think they do. I think Kansas wins on the road. Give me the points and give me Kansas. Kansas pretty good at revenge, and I think they'll play well.
Okay.
Give me Kansas 79-71.
Okay. Ooh, it's a big lead. Okay. I'm going to have to disagree with you. I like Texas Tech just because they already beat them at Fog Allen. Texas Tech, they're ranked 6, but they're kind of just still a low-key team to me. I don't know. And, I mean, they're doing really well this year, 13-11 against the spread, Kansas 14-12, so you're not really relying anything on that. But I like Texas Tech covering here with that 2-point spread. But I'm going to take them 84-80 over the Jayhawks. I got some confidence in them. Let's see how that one plays out.
Good luck beating Kansas twice, if you're anybody.
Yeah.
Let alone Tech. Penn State, Nebraska here.
Yeah, so we don't have any official lines, but I have Nebraska at -3 right now. And keep in mind, last time I checked, Nebraska was the best team in college basketball against the spread, 21-7.
21-7. If 3's the number,
that's what I got.
Then I would take that all. I would give that all day. I think Nebraska is going to be juiced. I think Nebraska is going to play a bit freer. They needed to get to this game. Penn State is supposed to be without their leading rebounder, which is big.
Yeah, might walk.
Nebraska played bad basketball. James Palmer was non-existent. You had the Jordy thing going on, and you only lost by 2 in overtime with two idiotic shots taken. And you had the lead, and you should have won in Happy Valley earlier. Yeah. All those things went wrong against you earlier this year. Nebraska going to get this thing handled. They'll win 80-69.
Okay, so you're reversing it now like you did against Indiana. You're picking the Huskers once again.
I'm done trying to be the good luck charm.
Okay. I, too, think the Huskers will win this game, although I think it's going to be a little bit closer. Penn State's a completely different team, and the way Nebraska came out against Indiana, their first halves just scare me to death. So I do think they'll get it done in the second half. I like Nebraska 79, Penn State 72.
All right, well, you keep score here, young Danny Cassino, and we'll have some bragging rights on Monday. We'll wind down a Friday edition of Hail Varsity. Your chance at concert tickets coming up before we say goodnight.
Muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word FIRE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text FIRE to 797979. Text FIRE to 797979.
It's good to be free. Like with U.S. Cellular Prepaid, you're not just free from a contract. You'll get a free smartphone, too. For a limited time, get a free Samsung Galaxy J3. And with unlimited data on U.S. Cellular's network, you'll be free to stream, chat, upload, and download as much as you please. Get a free smartphone from U.S. Cellular Prepaid today and let freedom ring. In the middle of anywhere.
Purchase of a qualifying smartphone and $40 Simple Connect prepaid plan required via $75 U.S. cellular promo card. Limited time offer while supplies last. Additional restrictions apply.
Sorry, I'm a little winded. I've been dancing around the sound booth. Lucky for life, the new $2 lotto game from the Nebraska Lottery is here. You could win $1,000 a day for life or $25,000 a year for life. It's such a great game. It just makes you feel like getting up and dancing. Somebody move the mic stand. I'm coming through.
Lucky for life. Drawings Mondays and Thursdays. Must be 19. Please play responsibly.
Your capital city forecast for the overnight, getting down to about 21. A winter weather advisory going into effect until 6 p.m. on Saturday, when we can expect snow, maybe some freezing rain, 1 to 2 inches. Sunday, mostly sunny and 42. That's your capital city forecast on ESPN, FM 101.5 and 1480 AM, Lincoln Sports Authority.
You know us. We know sports. We're ESPN 1480 KLMS, Lincoln's Sports Authority. He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time. Are you going to recreate No Sit Sunday? Do you do that? Tim Miles doesn't think so.
You know, that one was different because, quite frankly, we were kind of new to the party. We had had about a 5-week run or at that time, 4-week run, and this has been a longer kind of period of winning basketball, it feels like anyway. That was just such a captivating experience. I don't know if you can ever recreate that. Now, Sunday will be hopping. It's a huge game. It's a very talented team. But, you know, I suppose it's like comparing children, right? You don't do that. You just love them all. So we're going to love what happens Sunday.
It varies at our house between Carson and Roz, the Labradoodle. Some days we tell them that, listen, we love this one better than this other one. Just do it. Little mind torment. Evan Taylor, man. Not only did he help you get past Indiana, but he's been so instrumental. Coach Mild had some kind words about him today.
I think just his commitment, I don't think there's any doubt that if I had to pick a Mr. Gata who comes every day working hard, it's Evan Taylor. Accept any role, he'll suck the scum for a win, he'll do whatever it takes. In fact, it was early in the Indiana game that he didn't dive on the floor for a loose ball, and it kind of caught me by surprise. I'm like, Evan, what are you doing? Like, you got to get on the floor for that ball. And then he played tremendous the second half. So I see Copeland take a charge, and I think it's an act of a higher power. And I love him, but, you know, you're just like, that was by accident. And but if you see Evan not dive, you're like, whoa, what's going on? So, you know, there's a lot of things. And Evan just is one of our hardest worker, guttiest guys.
Tim Miles there. And I like the that was an accident. Pretty good. We have people calling here, Danny. What do you think they want?
I'm thinking they want some Steve Miller Band and Peter Frampton tickets.
Right, and well done. You wrote Frampton out before. I'm kidding. Frampton and Steve Miller Band. It's coming to the Pinewood Bowl in August.
That's right.
We have more concert tickets next week to give away. Not to this, but something cool as well. So what I'm telling you here is caller 8. Be nice to Danny, and he'll get you a pair of tickets. The Steve Miller Band and Frampton. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. This song screams some dude in the front row with a lighter. Now you use your cell phone, but this guy that you'll see at the show will have a lighter in the front row.
I thought you meant a lighter for a different reason.
Oh, he'll have that too.
Yeah.
He'll be out. Now he'll just pack the gummy bears.
There you go.
Don't do drugs, kids. Okay, caller 8, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Two tickets for you, Steve Miller Band and Mr. Peter Frampton. Frampton, I was looking on YouTube, you know, doing my research for this thing. Frampton does an insane version of Black Hole Sun, which is great. From Soundgarden and the late, great Chris Cornell. So if I end up finding my way to this show, I hope I hear that. Danny, good luck. Be kind to your bookie this weekend.
Will do. You too.
Don't take it easy on him, but don't rub it in.
All right.
It's Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago. Thanks to him. Thanks to Bo Reed, Husker Hall of Famer. Great stuff from Greg Smith. Derek Peterson all over it. Tomorrow morning, we'll be with you. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Talk to you then at 7 a.m., presented by the Nebraska Lottery.